Okay, transforming hearts this morning, that's my theme. I'm going to start with a quote from a stand-up comedian because we don't get enough of those in our sermons. This is Milton Jones, one of my favourites. He said this. Let me just slow down. The Spirit of God is a real person you can invite in. But watch out, in time he'll go over, pull the fridge from the wall and say, "What's all this mess under here?" But at least he helps clear up. That's from one of his books. And his book, it's from a book called 10 Second Sermons. I think that's a pretty good 10 Second Sermon. I'll read it again. The Spirit of God is a real person you can invite in. But watch out, in time he'll go over, pull the fridge from the wall and say, "What's all this mess under here?" But at least he helps clear up. Imagine how much earlier we could get home from church if us preachers got better at our job and we could do it in 10 seconds. What do you reckon? I don't know why I'm looking at you, John. It would be a miracle. Okay, sorry, you're not that lucky today. Okay, so we're going to look at a familiar story for many of us. This is the story of Zacchaeus, as told by Luke. In Luke 19, and he's actually quite a concise storyteller. Not as concise as Milton, but pretty concise. So Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Sorry about that, Gary. So Zacchaeus was a despised person. I was trying to think of what the equivalent would be in our culture today. I'm thinking traffic warden, but I think it was probably worse than that. Pardon? Okay. I'm not going to repeat that on the mic. Oh dear. He worked for the Romans, and he would be skimming a tidy profit off the taxes that he collected on their behalf. So for that reason, the crowd is not going to pass, make a path for him to get to the front so he can see Jesus. In fact, I reckon the people probably were laughing at him as he ran along the road and tried to climb up a tree. I mean, Middle Eastern men don't do that. They just don't run and they don't climb trees. So he's making a bit of a fool of himself. But he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, but he didn't want to be seen by Jesus. But that's not an option. It's not an option to see Jesus and not be seen by Jesus. It's not an option for him, and it's not an option for us. We can't gaze on the beauty of Jesus without him truly seeing us, warts and all. We can't meet with him without him meeting with us where we are and as we are. We can't know him without him knowing us deeply and completely. So thinking back to the first verse that we read there, verse 1 of chapter 19 of Luke, it said there that Jesus was passing through. He entered Jericho and he was passing through. And yet he decides to stop and to give this oppressor of the people, this unclean, dishonest, unpopular man, his time and his attention. Not only that, he invites himself to be Zacchaeus' guest. I mean, that is such bad manners. I think we kind of know that anyway, don't we? Jesus is ignoring the cultural norms. The host should invite the guest and not vice versa. So the Jewish people that were around and about, the crowd of people, they would have considered this man's house defiled. And so they take offense at Jesus because he's gone to stay with a sinner rather than in the home of a reputable man. Zacchaeus had been the focus of their disrespect. He'd been the focus of their hatred, but now their dispute and their hostility has shifted onto Jesus. They've taken offense at him. Interesting. So I was reading from Kenneth Bailey. He's a theologian and an author. And he explains this passage really well, but he talks about Jesus's attitude to repentance. He says, he explains that for Jesus, repentance is not simply confession of sin, but acceptance of being found. Repentance is not simply confession of sin, but acceptance of being found. If you think about the lost sheep or the prodigal son, maybe. But here we've got Zacchaeus accepting being found by Jesus. And Jesus' presence and his love, his acceptance of Zacchaeus has such a profound effect on him that he makes a public pledge of generosity to the poor and to reimburse the people he's cheated. Zacchaeus has received the costly love of Jesus, and now he begins to live a life of costly love amongst the same people that he's financially abused. And then with this promise of restitution, that's enough for Jesus to announce salvation has come to this house. I don't know how you respond when you have an unexpected visitor. Perhaps you keep a pristine house, kitchen cupboard stocked with freshly baked goodies. You're always ready to drop what you're doing and welcome an unexpected guest. Or perhaps your home is a little more lived in, and your cupboard's rather bare. So the thought of someone arriving unannounced sends you darting behind the sofa to quietly hide, hoping they'll assume you're not home. Maybe you're somewhere in between. Zacchaeus welcomed his uninvited guest. He wasn't even at home, and he welcomed him to come. He welcomed him gladly. Let's have a look at Revelation 3, verse 20. This is like quite a well-known verse if you've been around churches a while. But often we think about it for people that don't know Jesus. But this was written to a church. I think the Amplified version that's up here, the Amplified Bible version, it helps us here to get the point. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door of the church and continually knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, restore him, and he with me." So whether we've been a follower of Jesus for 40 years or this is all new to us, I believe that Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts and our lives, even now, and it's up to us to open the door. Okay, I want to show you something that I'm not proud of. That doesn't even do it justice, because as much as you can see there, there's as much again, like around that corner, because it's one of those deep cupboards. So this is one of my kitchen cupboards. This is the worst, I would say, but if you want to come around and check, you might disagree. So you've got to be really careful opening this door. It's one of the under the sink ones. Really careful opening the door, because something might fall out and hit you on the foot. Quite likely to, in fact, or it might fall out and break. So I don't know what you can see. I thought about putting up a list, you know, like a treasure hunt kind of list down the side, and you could see what you could spot whilst I'm talking, but I'm not going to do that. But so there's all sorts in there. What you can't see very well in there, there's lots of tins of paint that have got just like a little bit in the bottom of them all. But that is just in case we need to patch up a little chip of paint. There's lots of empty jars there. I don't know why, but I don't really want to throw them out because they're just quite nice. And I don't know. And then there's those charity bags. There's some of those charity bags up there. I've missed the date for filling them and putting them out, but, you know, that's that. Oh, there's lighter fluid there. None of us smoke. We don't have any lighters. Missed the muscle window cleaner. I know, yeah, I'm good as new. I'm not selling anything. There's some stain remover. I might use that today. A hot water bottle, the blue thing back there, that's a hot water bottle. We've got electric blankets, so I don't know what we've got that for. There's the dustpan and brush. It does get used for a quick clean-up now and again. So why on earth might I be sharing this with you this morning? So we were worshipping here the other week, and we were singing a song that seems to be challenging a few of us lately. And as we sang this song, the line says, "I will make room for you to do what you want to." And a picture of this cupboard just flashed before my mind. And I'm like, gosh, where did that come from? That is strange. But I understood that God was talking about my heart, not about my kitchen cupboard, because it's still like that. You know, most of what's in this cupboard is for cleaning or for patching up old stuff, for making minor improvements to things that really should be completely renovated. You know, you can spray a bit of window cleaner on a window that has got condensation in between the double glazing, and it isn't going to make all that much difference. You can dab a bit of paint on a wall that really needs to be redone completely. You know, that's a lot of this stuff is making minor improvements when what needs to be done is major renovation. And lots of the stuff I just don't need anymore. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to just patch me up. He wants to do something new in my heart, and I'd hazard a guess in many of our hearts. When I preach, I'm always just preaching to myself, but if you guys get something as well, that's a bonus, isn't it? So when Jesus came with all his powerful love into Zacchaeus's heart and home, he didn't make some minor adjustments to Zacchaeus's attitude and behavior. The impact of Jesus' love and acceptance was nothing less than revolutionary. Zacchaeus' heart was transformed. So I've been asking the Holy Spirit this question. What is it in my heart that I don't need anymore? I want to make room for you to do what you want to do. So what is it that I don't need to hold on to anymore? Just take a moment, ask him that question for yourself. What is it in my heart that I don't need anymore? Let me just pray for a moment. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and search our hearts this morning. We know that you see it all. Nothing's hidden from you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you can see clearly where we don't see it clearly. What is in our hearts that we don't need anymore? Would you begin to show that to us? Amen. You might get an immediate answer, or it might just take some mulling over. Maybe you'll hear from God in the next few days on this. Don't sweat it. Let's be relaxed about it. Don't start digging around looking for issues that aren't there. That's not going to really help anybody. But just a question to be asking. Okay, so for me, he's been speaking to me again about my self-sufficiency. You know, because of his love for me and because of the potential he can see in me, he wants to get rid of the self-sufficiency that's rooted in my heart. And I've seen him working on this recently. So one of the things that he's done is put me in a situation that I cannot handle on my own. I can't be self-sufficient in it. I need other people. And it's thrown me onto depending on other people who'll listen and who'll pray with me. And that's helping me greatly. And he's thrown me onto dependence on him in that situation. But also, as we've been trying to grow our prayer ministry times at the back of church and the hub that I'm leading with John this term, just needing to depend on the Holy Spirit, to hear from him, to get words from him for other people, to know how to pray when someone asks me to pray. I need him in this. I can't be dependent on myself. It's a good job he's patient, because this isn't a recent thing for me. It's something I've been learning to lay down for years. But I just thank him that he's not giving up. I don't know what it is for you that's in your heart that you're holding on to, but that's something that he's working on in me. So I like the Milton Jones quote, as you would have guessed, that I started with. The Spirit of God is a real person you can invite in, but watch out, in time he'll go over, pull the fridge from the wall and say, what's all this mess under here? But at least he helps clear up. But I don't think that's the full extent of the Holy Spirit's work. Not just to make me a bit nicer. The Holy Spirit empowers us to make a positive difference to the people around us. We watched a video at the beginning, didn't we, about Pentecost, about the mighty wind coming and the fire. About the Holy Spirit being poured out in a dramatic way, transforming a group of hidden, fearful people into fearless witnesses for Jesus. People who were out there using their newly acquired spiritual gifts to bring thousands more into the kingdom of God. Their lives were transformed, their hearts were transformed, and they set about transforming the world around them. That's what the Holy Spirit is ready to do in us. And when you think about the story of Zacchaeus, the impact of Jesus' love and acceptance was revolutionary, not just for him, but for the community he lived in, that would be now financially blessed by Zacchaeus and his newfound generosity and their lowered tax bills. You know, his transformed heart had a very tangible impact on other people. You see, following Jesus isn't a self-improvement program. It's not about being the best me I can be. One of my bugbears. So with our hearts and lives transformed by the Holy Spirit, we can positively impact those around us in many different ways. That's what he's on with. So I want to finish by praying a blessing over us this morning. So if you would like to stand and the band come back, that would be great. This is a lovely promise that's found in Ezekiel. Oh, it's gone. Is it coming up? There it is. It's a lovely promise that's found in Ezekiel. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. This morning, Father, we come to you and we claim that promise. That old promise from way back in the Old Testament. We claim it for us right here today in Arnold. We ask you to give us a new heart and put a new spirit in us. To remove from us our hearts of stone and to give us a heart of flesh. A heart that is soft towards you. We're not asking you to patch us up. We're asking for a new heart, a new spirit. And we choose this morning to make room for you, Holy Spirit. We invite you to reach into every corner of our hearts. To do what you want to do in us and through us. Amen.